Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Goddesses podcast. I'm your host, Monique Hom. On this show, I interview amazing, badass women in real estate investing. And today, it's certainly no exception. I'm super excited to have with me Sabrina Guler, who is a young female entrepreneur in the real estate space. She co-founded TechVestor. It's a short-term rental fund that's raised $21 million in the last 12 months. Before TechVestor, she worked at Apple in the engineering space as a project manager for the AirPods product line while helping thousands of people in tech learn about real estate investing. And since 2021, she's flipped, designed, and furnished over 65 houses. She built TechVestor's operational infrastructure, and she's been nominated for Forbes 30 Under 30 for 2023. Amazing. I'm so happy to have you. Welcome, Sabrina.
Thank you. Thanks. The crazy thing is that when I wrote that bio, I think that was in November, so 2 months ago, and we actually just finished our almost $40 million raise. We hit almost, we're like at 37 and a half. So it's like That's pretty amazing. Crazy. Yeah. So we pretty much doubled our raise since then. It's been a wild Q4.
It's like 2.5 months or so. That's great. Yeah. Amazing. So how did you get started in real estate investing?
That is such a long-winded answer. But I'll, you know, obviously I'm happy to share. So I started in real estate actually, when I was 20, I had my real estate license in New York and I was bartending and I was kind of looking for an alternative to school. And that was kind of my entry point to real estate when I was, you know, very young. New York, the market was very competitive. It was also a weird time. It was, you know, 2013. And so, you know, I had a craving to get into school. So I came to Arizona. My parents moved here in 2011 and I went to ASU and my career kind of led me into the tech space. And I climbed that corporate ladder for quite some time. And as I grew my W-2 income, I started getting interested in real estate again. And I was looking to kind of build my wealth over time. I think I always saw real estate as like a long-term game, and the thought of owning property and having passive income separately from my W-2 was always interesting to me. So I got back into real estate in 2019, and I've always had a love for like interior design and floor plans and houses. I've always like gone to open houses by myself and checked them out. And I had just started working for Apple a few years back, and a lot of people within Apple have purchased homes with their additional income. There's their restricted stock unit at Apple. It's really common that you get stock units as a part of your income. And so people would sell those and then buy real estate to diversify. And that's kind of how I got back into it. So just a couple years later, I got into the game, but from an entry-level investor. And I fell in love with the business and the industry. I think I, you know, living in San Francisco was very not realistic to invest. So, you know, because my parents lived in Arizona and that was an up and coming market, Arizona, Phoenix had been killing it since like 2017, 2016, it had been like rising again. And it was just kind of the perfect place to get my feet wet and learn and kind of explore with the extra income that I had. So that's how I got back into it. And then how I built TechVestor was very much so an organic linear journey that happened accidentally.
So tell us about that. How did TechVestor come about?
So my first property I bought was, I went with single family and I was going to buy something in Arizona because my parents lived here. And I thought, hey, you know, I'll just Airbnb it when I'm not here and I'm back in Cupertino working for Apple. So I bought a place, I furnished it. I was there for a month or two and it did really well. I mean, I underwrote my properties pretty similarly to someone just getting into real estate. Like you really focus on your numbers. You look at the data, you do a lot of research, you pull the trigger and you kind of like, you pray that it works out. And then, you know, the good thing is that real estate's really data driven. So my predictions were you know, really on the money. And my first investment went really well. And at the time I was documenting my journey at Apple, just internally telling people about what I was doing. And people were really curious and no one wanted to do it themselves. So people were, you know, a couple of former colleagues were like, hey, if I gave you this amount or this amount of cash, would you jump in on a deal with me or can you help me? And so I got my real estate license again, but in the state of Arizona, and I started helping people. And I think at one point it made no sense for me to go this multiple LLC structure. It was also really exhausting for me to keep opening LLCs and doing this whole thing again over and over again. So I had partnered with my business partner now. And we went the fund structure and we opened it up to friends and family only. And at the time, and we had a really, really, really strong start. And that was really it. I mean, once we did our first big raise, I knew that I couldn't have two jobs at the same time. And this was obviously pulling my interest way more than what I was doing, you know, with Apple. I mean, I was super grateful for the opportunity, but I've loved real estate. It's nice owning something of your own and seeing the fruits of your labor. So
there's obviously a demand. So you've been building TechBester, which is amazing. You said now it's almost at 40 million. And what does it do exactly?
So we buy single family homes all over the country and we turn them into high performing Airbnbs. And the fund is a blend. It's a collection of multiple performing Airbnbs, and it allows people to get into the short-term rental, you know, investment world for a minimum of $25,000 an investment, and they get to diversify and they get to see a blended return of multiple properties in multiple markets that are short-term rentals around the country.
How are you scaling to that? You know, how do you, you're in, obviously it sounds like you're in a lot of markets and you're, it's almost 40 million. It's a lot of houses. So what have you done to allow yourself to scale?
That's probably the hardest thing that not a lot of people can support because it's so, it's very labor intensive. It's time consuming. So that's kind of what caused me to quit my 9-to-5. I just saw the vision. I saw the need. We honestly did it one step at a time. So every market we entered in, we, you know, and you learn this when you get into real estate investing, you're like, who's your core team, your boots on the ground? Who are the people that you've built relationships with that can help you when you're remotely managing a project or working on remodeling and all that? So we built teams with time, not that much time, right? Because it's only been like a year and a half, but we were really aggressive about our vision. And we were strategic about how many houses we purchased in a market so that it made sense for people on the ground to prioritize us. And because we're such a data-driven company, we knew exactly what we wanted the homes to look like and feel and what amenities were required and what things needed to be put into those homes to produce the revenue, that it was really just creating an infrastructure operationally, like, you know, creating checklists for people and being very thorough and communicating, asking for pictures, just being very asynchronous to make sure that everything is working in parallel and people understand what each home needs to be.
Yeah. So what's your buy criteria for a house? What makes for a great Airbnb?
Also another loaded question. I think it depends on what kind of asset you're buying. I mean, Airbnb has turned into such a multi-dimensional asset class. That's even the word for it. But you can have a treehouse, you could have a tiki hut, you could have a little glass dome. We buy, our portfolio really focuses on the 3 to 5 bedroom home, and we cater to large groups and families. Mm-hmm. And we did that for many reasons. It kind of happened organically with what we were looking for when we underwrote our homes, what we were aiming for returns and all that. That criteria kind of fit. But also from a demand perspective, you're a family of three staying together in a home, looking for amenities to entertain children and multiple parents and, you know, all that, is would rather be in a home setting than be in three separate rooms at the Hyatt. Right. And so we're, you know, we're priced economically for those groups, but we're also furnished for those groups, like with double bunk beds and twins and multiple bathrooms and three living rooms with lots of different entertainment spaces. So we built homes so that parents can enjoy a cocktail and the kids can be running downstairs and the outdoor spaces can reflect whatever seasonality you're renting our homes in. So we focus on large single family homes with multiple living spaces in a 90 minute vacation rental city away from a major metro. So like, you know, New York City's 90 minutes away from the Poconos, and the Poconos is like a year round family destination spot. So that's one of our biggest markets that we invest in. And that's a good subset of our portfolio.
Great. Amazing. So you've had a tremendous amount of success in a little bit of time. And I find though that we learn so much more when things don't go well than when they do. So what would you say was your biggest mistake and what have you learned from it?
Definitely made plenty of them. I think it's being very thorough in your expectations and your budgeting for things. I think, you know, we were very conservative when we underwrote a lot of our properties, and we're very grateful for that because there are just real estate can be expensive, and that goes with anything. This is not even Airbnb. It's just real estate in general. Surprises with heavier, you know, weighted things that come up, for instance, like an air conditioner blowing out or a roof or sketchy inspection reports that are in favor of the agent, not so much the buyer. So I think it's just being really conservative, understanding that you can plan as much as you want, and there will always be an essence of surprise investing. And that usually goes on the operational side, even like with utilities, right? Even with small recurring expenses that someone might tell you is X. So in Scottsdale, it is typically this. And then when you have an Airbnb and people are barbecuing in July, leaving the door open, it could be triple that because no one cares as much as you do. So I say that would be one of them.
And so then, what was the mistake? Not being conservative enough or not thinking about
just things? Luckily it was never really a mistake that we made because we were conservative of what we're doing, but I think it could easily be a mistake for people entering the space.
So what was your biggest mistake? What did you learn from it?
My biggest mistake in investing was probably not doing it sooner. I think a lot of people get into analysis paralysis, where you like get stuck thinking about something over and over again. And I think if you don't know your numbers, that's a reason to be anxious. But if you know your numbers, then, you know, I think there's always an opportunity to go for it. And I wish I did it sooner.
It's really common. And so what do you attribute to your success?
I think always looking at something like it's a learning opportunity, and never staying stagnant in that. So as a company, I mean, we've hired so many people and we've worked with so many different internal and external vendors, and we've learned so much that could have made us scared or made us hesitant or, you know, caused us to kind of go back and recircle. But we've always just been super progressive with how we handle things and adaptive, and we've pivoted a lot, especially the last 3 years. I mean, the market has been up and down, or a lot of opinions, a lot of noise.
Yeah.
So I think it's just knowing what's in front of you immediately and understanding if that contributes to what I like to call your North Star. So like if your North Star is like retiring, or if your North Star is to have X amount of passive income and you have a challenge in front of you, like how do you solve that challenge, knowing what your long-term goal is.
Beautiful. And now we have our advice round. What's the best life advice you've ever received?
Best life advice I've ever received was to not ask for advice to someone whom you don't aspire to be. You got a lot of people who love you and have been in your path for a long time, but that don't necessarily need to come with you in certain journeys in life. And I think we look for comfort in people. And unintentionally, those people can't really help us, you know? And I think building friendships and mentorships and aligning yourself with the right people in life that you aspire to be in some capacity, can really help you, you know, navigate and guide you to the right place. So definitely people. The biggest and the best things in life, especially in real estate, whether it's like a secret deal or a great resource or a business partner like that, I've never heard of someone being amazingly successful in real estate by themselves. It's always through people.
Yeah. It's a relationship business for sure.
Yeah.
And what's the worst advice you could give someone?
To be very emotional in this business. This is not a place for, I think a lot of people get so emotional about like the granite kitchen top colors and, you know, the parts of real estate that could equally be so much fun.
Yeah.
But this is a numbers business and you should never be emotional in making half of the decisions here. You know, I see a lot of people partnering up with friends and family and they get caught up on the dream of it. And it's like, it's a numbers-based business. It's long-term. And how you're feeling today is not going to represent how you're feeling in 5 years. And you're going to still be in business with the same people. And you're going to reflect on the decisions you made 5 years ago based on an emotion you were feeling. So I guess that's good and bad advice at the same time. I would advise someone to not
You would tell the bad advice would be just make emotional decisions. Don't worry about the numbers at all.
Yeah.
That would be pretty bad advice. And what's the best advice you have for a woman getting started in this field?
To be ruthlessly curious, do a lot of reading, ask a lot of questions. You will be surprised at how open people are. I think the real estate investing community, people are very friendly and open. At least in my experience, I've never felt like someone was gatekeeping something. I think people have answers and are happy to share them, but you have to ask. And a lot of the times, I think in this business, there's so much you can learn from like new markets or an approach to something or a cheaper alternative to solve a problem. And I think as women, sometimes we feel like we can't ask or, you know, we're hesitant to ask for whatever reason. And I think the less shy you are in this, the more well-rounded you become.
Beautiful. Okay. So before we get into our famed end of show Trinity, which is a brag of gratitude and desire, how can people connect with you and TechBester and find out more about what you do?
Yeah. So our website's pretty straightforward, techbester.com. And it just tells a lot about what we do and the types of returns that we offer and like who we are and a little bit more about our story. And then you can find me on LinkedIn. I think that's the easiest way to like reach out to me, message me. I'm always active on there. I'm always journaling about what we're doing actively as a company. So you can find me there.
Beautiful. Okay. So now it's time for our Trinity, brag, gratitude, and desire. What is your brag? What are you celebrating right now?
I am celebrating a year of transformative power. So I think the last couple of years for COVID, a lot of people were like in a very transformative phase. People were redefining careers or looking into hobbies and people were kind of assessing where they are with all the changes. And I think this year, at least I feel way more grounded in my business and all the personal decisions that I made last year to feel like I can really step into myself and I can, you know, be a better leader. So I've really been focusing on that. Yeah.
Great. Well bragged. And what's one thing you're grateful for?
Grateful for our team. Yeah, I think people in this business are incredible and definitely would not have gotten where we are today without our team.
And last but not least, what's one desire?
Desire is probably more time. So like creating more automations and exploring all these funky tools that have come into our world recently, like ChatGPT, and just seeing how I can depend less on myself for things that can be easily automated.
So shall your desire be, or so much better than you can imagine.
Oh yeah, I hope so. Yeah, working on it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This was so great. I'm loving everything that you're about. So it was a pleasure. Y'all, you can connect with Sabrina at techbester.com or find her on LinkedIn and connect with me at reigoddesses.com. There you can find out about our programs, our investor club, our events, and get more of these amazing Real Estate Investor Guys podcast interviews. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.